Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McCallan. Guide Dogs for the Blind is the first guide dog training school on the West Coast. Guide Dogs opened in May 1942 at a rented home in Los Gatos, California. The school opened for wounded servicemen who returned from World War II without sight. One of the school's first graduates was Sergeant Leonard Folk. Sergeant Folk was paired with a rescued German Shepherd named Blondie. Today the school has graduated over 10,000 dog and student teams, expanded to two campuses, and cared for the dogs and people in new state-of-the-art facilities. Teresa Stern is Guide Dogs' Alumni Association Director, and Jane Neglia is Guide Dogs' new Outreach Manager. Jane is also a guide dog user. Jane and Teresa join us to talk about the school, its history and expansion, and how blind students pair up with man's best friend to travel and see the world. Welcome, Jane and Teresa.
Thanks. Thank you for having us.
So, Teresa, let's first talk about Guide Dogs' history. Two noted individuals, Don Donaldson and Lois Merrihue, they started the school. So, who are these two individuals, and how did they start Guide Dogs?
Well, Lois Merrihue had always had a dream of wanting to help the blinded service members coming back from World War II, and she had heard of the first Guide Dog School, which was the Seeing Eye in New Jersey, Morristown, New Jersey, and so she had actually looked to become a trainer at that school. And at the time, they were not hiring women to be dog trainers. And so she wasn't able to fulfill her dream. So she came to the West Coast and decided that she wasn't going to give up on her dream. And so she actually was able to connect with Don Donaldson, who had been had at one time been a trainer at the Seeing Eye and now was living on the West Coast. And so he and she started the school here with a lot of help from volunteers, and he eventually trained her to be a guide dog trainer, and she's the very first female guide dog trainer.
Wow, that's amazing. Guide Dogs moved to another campus in 1947, where they moved their campus to the present-day location in San Rafael. That's north of San Francisco. What prompted the school's move to the northern section of the San Francisco area?
Well, I believe they just, you know, they had been operating out of a home in Los Gatos, and they needed more space for kennels and an actual, you know, dormitory and that type of thing. So they were expanding and felt they needed more space, and I believe that the at the time when they moved up here, Marin County was country. You know, there wasn't a lot of development at the time, so it was a really good place to start, and we've been here ever since.
There's also another campus, another Guide Dogs campus that opened in 1995 in the town of Boring, Oregon. I was wondering why Guide Dogs decided to open the second campus.
Well, you know, we were serving a lot of people, and there was quite a long waiting list for people who wanted to come in and get a guide dog. And so we had the opportunity at the time to build a new campus, and so we were able to do that. And it's been, you know, running pretty full ever since, and we're really lucky to have it. It's actually, if you ever get a chance to see it, it's a beautiful campus. They have a lot of acreage up there, a little trail that runs around the property they call the Oregon Trail, and it's a lovely place to be.
So, Jane, now for you. Before we move on to talk about guide dogs some more, some of our listeners may not know what the difference is between a guide dog and a regular dog. I was wondering if you could tell our audience some of the differences between the two.
Well, yeah, you know, a guide dog is a trained service dog to provide a service to people who are blind or low vision. So it is a specially trained dog bred and raised from a puppy. And the dog does come with a lot of rules and different things that you have to follow because it is a service animal. Whereas, you know, a pet dog, you know, you can kind of train or untrain or do whatever you want with your pet dog. You can, and they come in all different, you know, shapes and breeds and sizes, where guide dogs are usually the breed of a Labrador, Golden Retriever, or a mix of the two, and some other schools do use German Shepherds and other types of breeds as well.
Now, I hear that from some people that you can pet a guide dog. Others I've heard say that you can't. What's the real truth, and why?
Well, it's both kind of true. It's an individual decision whether or not somebody allows, you know, the public or anybody to come up and pet the guide dog while it's working. Because the guide dog, their main focus is to guide somebody and to keep that person safe when they're traveling from point A to point B. So if people are petting the dog, it can distract the dog from its work. Typically, like I know for myself, I do allow people to pet my dog, but I do make her sit. And then I ask them to make sure that she remains sitting when they pet her because she can get a little excited. So it is definitely an individual decision if somebody wants somebody to pet their dog or not. I think the main thing is for people to remember is you should always ask before petting a guide dog. Don't ever just assume it's okay to do that. So always ask the handler if it's okay if I pet your dog.
That makes sense. And while we're on the topic of these guide dog rules, I was looking at one of the guide dogs brochures that Teresa gave me at the recent California Council of the Blind convention in Sacramento. And the brochure was all about guide dog etiquette. And it had a list of several rules for guide dogs and handling them. One of the rules was that a guide dog should never be offered distracting food or treats. What are some of these distracting food or treats?
Well, I mean, I've had a lot of times, you know, out in public, you'll be walking and somebody, you know, wants to give people just naturally want to give dogs food. And again, it takes away from the dog's focus on their work. And dogs are very food motivated, you know, so if somebody's going to offer them something, they're going to want to take it and it can distract them. Guide Dog School does a really good job at working at dogs refusing offers of food. And also, you know, we do have our dogs out in public, and we do go into restaurants, and you don't want to walk into a restaurant with your well-trained guide dog and have it stealing food off of a table or diving under a table to find food on the floor. You want your dog to maintain its good behavior in public places. So we really work hard to make sure that our guides are not offered food and don't take food. It's not to say that our dogs are not given treats from time to time. We always want to make them do something for the treat. So, you know, if you want to give them a treat, you'll maybe make them sit or down. And in the home environment, I usually, if I'm going to give her a treat, I put it in her bowl so she's not taking it from my hand.
So, Teresa, the access laws that include the Americans with Disabilities Act, they allow the guide dogs to accompany their handlers to any public place, such as the theater, the restaurant, the store, the bus, and even just an office building. How do the laws allow for guide dogs to access any public places?
Well, it's a really great thing that we have here in this country and in many other countries as well. And the law is really for the person who's blind. So the person who's blind has the right to access to the building, and if the way that they are able to access the building is by using a guide dog, then the guide dog needs to be permitted inside the building or different places. Now, some places we recommend that you don't take guide dogs, and those are places where the law says that it's a little bit unclear, but you know, like intensive care units, places where the general public, where their access is limited, can also be limited then for the dog as well. So it's actually the person that has the access. The dog is just the means by which the person accesses their environment.
And the other thing about these laws is that for hotels, for instance, what they're doing is they're letting any sort of service animals, it says on their website, service animals allowed. And this is how, from what I understand, they're following these access laws for guide dogs, correct?
Right. Well, there's guide dogs are not the only dogs that have access. So it could be dogs that mitigate any sort of disability or who have been trained to mitigate a disability. So that could be maybe a dog who helps a person who's in a wheelchair or a person who has hearing loss, different things like this as well. What it doesn't protect are dogs that are like companion dogs, maybe for support just as a companion, because that's not considered mitigating a disability or being trained to mitigate a disability.
So the students and their canine, they enjoy those comfortable dorm rooms and amenities with the lovely surroundings during their stay at Guide Dog. Tell me more about some of these exciting features at both of the school's California and Oregon campuses.
Well, I haven't stayed in the Oregon campus, but I know they're comparable, and we're, the dorms are, especially with our new dorms, I know you're going to talk about that in a little while, but everybody has their own individual room when they come to stay for training. Meals are provided. They have relieving areas for the dog. We have paddocks for the dogs so you can take your dog to play. We have in the evenings after a long day of working with the dog, sometimes we have yoga classes. There's massage available. They have computer rooms for people to use, movies available to watch, an exercise room. It's kind of like a little mini vacation, if you will, away from home. And the food is amazing, and the dorm staffs are always really, really nice and caring. And Teresa had said, the Oregon campus and the San Rafael campus are they're beautiful environments and great places to be.
So now back to you, Teresa. I was looking at the 2013 issue of Guide Dog News. That's the quarterly publication of Guide Dogs for the Blind. And I learned that the school is getting closer to completing the construction of its new state-of-the-art residence hall for students. Tell us about the new building and how the facility is going to help the future students and the new guide dogs work together as a team and just navigate their world.
All right. Well, yes, we're very excited about our new student residence. And in fact, today, the day that we're taping this is May 15th, and that's the day that the dorm gets turned over to Guide Dogs from the construction company. So it's a very momentous day for us. So it's basically like getting the keys. So it's a beautiful new building. There were a lot of people that were interviewed and were part of the decision as to, what kind of things we needed to keep in the to have in the building, what would be most beneficial for students, and all of that kind of stuff. I was lucky enough to actually be on the committee that helped design the building. So the building is, it's a large building. They're all student rooms. We have 13 student rooms. They are all self-contained with their own private bathroom. They have doors that open up onto a private patio that then opens out into the area where they can where folks can relieve their dogs. The relieving area is covered by a type of material so that if it's raining you don't get wet, but it still allows the sun to come through. So it's open, so it's nice and light and pretty out there. In the past, we used to all have to line up at one door to take our dogs out to go to the bathroom in the morning and in the evening and that kind of thing. And now people can do that simply and independently from their rooms. We have two classrooms with the ability to move the furniture around for doing different kinds of lectures. So if we're just talking, we might have, just the tables and stuff out. If we're doing a class on how to clean your dog's ears or that kind of thing, we can easily move the furniture around and be able to accommodate different types of trainings and things like that in there. The dorm is equipped with a wet room, so people can come in if it's been raining and be able to dry off their dogs and throw the towels right into a dryer. We also have an area where they can bathe their dogs, learn how to give their dogs a bath right there in the dorm. There's a nice dining room, a fireside lounge area. There's a student lounge with areas where if you want to bring your computer in and that kind of thing and work with stuff.
You can do that, or we've got a huge TV in there for folks that want to watch the game or just relax. It's really important to have, for us, it was very important anyway, to have a really comfortable, welcoming environment for students, because learning to use a guide dog is a brand new thing for many people. It takes a lot of your mental energy and physical energy, and so we really wanted somewhere that people could come home and feel comfortable. And so I think this new dorm is really going to do that.
So when is the grand opening for the new dorm?
So we're actually on May 22nd. We're going to have an open house for staff and volunteers. And then those are, our campus volunteers. And then in July is our Fun Day, which is a special event we do for our puppy-raising families. So the dorm will be available to them then to kind of check out. But we have tours every day here at Guide Dogs. People can drop in anytime and have a tour of the building. So
now back to Guide Dog News. How can our listeners read the publication, and what's the site?
Okay, so you can go to www.guidedogs.com and you can access any of our newsletters are on there. So you can access those under, I think it's news. So I think the tab is news. And actually guidedogs.com has a lot of really great information. There's information on etiquette and all that kind of stuff that we were talking about today, as well as other information about access, if there's, people have questions about access laws and advocacy, as well as information about how to donate. We have a gift shop. So I definitely would recommend that people go to guidedogs.com.
Well, we got some more time here because, Jane, our listeners want to know if they want to go to Guide Dog School, specifically Guide Dogs for the Blind, they got to know how to apply. So I hear that the prospective students have to follow an elaborate application process in order to be accepted. Can you tell our audience about this process?
Yeah, well, there is an application process. There's a couple ways you can apply. On our website, you can fill out an application online, or you can print it out and fill it out and mail it in. Or we do have a support center here at Guide Dogs that you can call in if you're unable to fill it out independently. The support center can help complete the application with you over the telephone. And once you've submitted an application, you'll receive a phone call from one of the admissions staff here at Guide Dogs, who are going to just talk to you about some of, questions about, dog experience, your mobility skills, what kinds of routes that you travel independently in your home environment, what you're looking for in a guide dog, just all kinds of kind of preliminary questions. And then you'll be determined whether or not you're eligible to get a guide dog. And the criteria for getting a guide dog, you do need to be legally blind. You also have to have strong O&M, orientation and mobility skills, and be able to walk at least 3 routes independently. And you have to have a safe home environment for your dog to come home to. And so once you've been found eligible for a dog, you will get a home visit from one of our field service representatives who will come out to your home and do an interview. And at that time, they're going to actually have you walk a route or two with your cane so that you can show them that you do have orientation and mobility skills and you're able to walk a route independently. They're also going to be looking at your home environment to make sure that it's a safe environment for your dog to come home to. And so once that interview has taken place and you are recommended to get a guide dog, that goes back to admissions, and then they start working with you about when you want to come up to get a guide dog and which campus you'd like to go to. And then it goes from there. So once you have your class date to get up to the school, they make all the arrangements for the individual to get here. And it takes, probably the process takes about 6 months from application to class time.
Wow. One of the steps, which is the phone consultation, it's reading the Guide Dog User Contract. What does that contract entail?
Well, the contract, it talks about a little bit about in the first year of the dog, for the first year, the guide dog is property of the school. So if something happens, the dog maybe gets sick or the dog has to somehow have an early retirement, if it is within that first year that you receive the dog is still property of the school and would go back if they want to the puppy raiser. They would get the first option to have that dog. After that first year is passed, an individual can take full possession of the dog in that it is their own dog, and there's paperwork that needs to be filled out, so there's things on the contract that have to do with that. Also that the harness is property of guide dogs, and so upon retirement of the dog, the harness will come back to the school. And there's also some things in there about that you agree to take good and proper care of your dog, that you're going to feed the dog, take care of the dog, take care of its health needs, so if it needs to go to the vet, that you're gonna maintain the dog's good health, that you're not gonna lend the dog out to anybody or let anybody use the dog, you know, for things like that. So it goes into a little bit of more detail about you know, those types of things. But that's basically what the contract is between you and the school, that you agree to those things. And it is on the website, so if somebody does want to go read the entire thing, it is on the website. If you go under Apply for a Guide Dog, the link there is a link to the Guide Dog User Contract.
How much does it cost to attend Guide Dog?
That's the best part. Absolutely nothing. It's 100% free to the individual. We do provide guide dogs to people who live in the United States and Canada, so no matter where they're coming from, we will pay for their travel to and from the campus. The time that they spend here is all free, room and board. All the equipment for the dog, the harness, leash, some other items that are given to the guide dog user is absolutely free. The one thing that people are responsible for is their veterinary care and food when they get home and baths and, you know, just day-to-day care of their dog. They're responsible for paying for that. But as far as getting the dog and the training and all of that, is absolutely free to the individual.
Now, can also referrals from, say, vocational rehabilitation counselors aid in the application process?
Oh, absolutely. I think there is something on there. I know in the application process you need to get some reports from your orientation and mobility instructor. I think if you do have a Department of Rehab counselor, that's on there. Medical, they want medical records that you're able, health-wise, to come up and be able to do the training class. So definitely a Department of Rehab counselor could assist in that process.
So once the students have completed the Guide Dogs curriculum, the school provides the new guide dog owners with post-graduation services. What are some of these services?
Jump in here. We have a brand new program, a support center. So if folks are having issues in the field, whether it's a guide work issue or a dog health issue or anything else, they just call and can talk to one of our professionals. We have two instructors in the support center, two veterinary people with a veterinary background, and a couple of people with general knowledge, and they can get information immediately, and then if it looks like the person needs a visit or needs to talk to their field manager, then that information is translated to the field manager.
That's great. And so why don't you two briefly tell me about your experiences at Guide Dogs for the Blind if you were students, and or just using your own guide dogs, just briefly.
Okay, I guess I can start. This is Teresa, and just one more thing I wanted to add in about our postgraduate services and support also includes the Veterinary Financial Assistance Program. So if folks are having a hard time with, you know, their dog gets sick and it's, you know, expensive and they can't afford to pay for it, we can certainly help them with that. We also provide all of our graduates who want it from us the flea and heart guard, heartworm control medicine on an annual basis if that's something that they need some assistance with. But as far as my own experience with guide dogs, I'm working my third guide dog. His name is Dario. And I have low vision, so I can see a little bit, but I need assistance when getting around. So I used to use a white cane, which I still use. I think it's important to remember to keep your cane skills up even when you have a guide dog, because, you know, there's some places where, you know, you may not want to take your dog. So a concert or something that's going to be loud, or a fireworks demonstration or something like that. So
And my experience with guide dogs was awesome, which is why I love working here now, because, you know, it's something I really believe in. I just felt like, you know, my life changed so dramatically after getting a guide dog. I used to be really afraid to go places by myself if I hadn't been there before, just, you know, anxious about it. With a guide dog, I feel more comfortable getting out in the world. And like I said, it's just really changed my life. The school here has definitely supported me along the way. As I said, I'm on my third guide dog, so I've had a guide dog who's passed away, and they were very supportive with that whole process. And a dog who I retired, and they're very supportive with that. So I really feel like guide dogs has been here for me from the beginning, and I really appreciate that.
How about you, Jane?
Yeah, and I echo everything Teresa said. I have my second dog. Her name is Anya, and I got her in 2009. My first dog had to be put down in 07. She was about 13 years old. You know, and my decision to get the guide dog, too, was kind of the same thing, just not going places on my own, kind of afraid. You know, and so the dog, and being on a new college campus, which can be very difficult to maneuver with the white cane. So I thought the dog would be a good solution for that, which it was. So it from day one, like Teresa said, there's just been support along the way all the time through, you know, when you first get the dog, when you're home with the dog, and then through the retirement process. I even had support from guide dogs trying to make the decision whether or not or when to put my first dog down, which was just a very difficult decision to make. And I had talked to my field rep about that on several occasions, and he really helped me make that decision and be comfortable with my decision. So it's really changed my life. I don't, like Teresa said, I still use my cane. Like she said, it's very important to maintain your cane skills. You know, but I don't know if I'll ever be without a guide dog.
Is there anything else that you two like to add?
Well, no, just thank you for the opportunity to let us share with you about our school. It's a wonderful place, and we hope this reaches out to a lot of people and they make the decision to come here to get a dog.
Yes, and Jane and Teresa, the information that you both provided may just inspire some of our listeners to fly to the West Coast, get trained, and receive a new little darling from Guide Dog. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Brian.
That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.
You are listening to American Council for the Blind Radio.
By the blind.